Hello, I'm Brad.
And I'm Jason.
You are listening to Dice and Mind, a monthly podcast in which we explore the meaning of life through the lens of RPGs.
We're lifelong friends, a couple of guys in their 40s who along the way had families and became professionals. Over the years, we've talked about pretty much everything. But recently, we realized we both had an interest and some history with tabletop role-playing games. So,
in each episode, we will consider everyday stuff like science, religion, philosophy, and economics, all through the lens of a specific role-playing game and its dice mechanic. For example, what would I have to roll in the Edge of the Empire narrative dice system to get that promotion at work?
Or would getting that paper published give me advantage on a subsequent D20 roll in Dungeons & Dragons?
If I were DM, likely not. But join us now and every month to think deeply, geek out, and explore how RPGs make the world just a little bit better.
This is
Dice in my mind.
Greetings and welcome back to Dice in Mind. As usual, this is Brad and Jason.
Hello.
So we're going to continue our discussion of D&D, and we are going to have an emphasis and talk about the dice mechanic. We did an intro last week talking about D&D. We want to continue that discussion and get into the mechanic and how that can apply in the real world.
That's right. So we thought we would start by doing not so much a deep dive as an overview of the general, really lovely dice mechanic in D&D 5th edition. A little backstory. We might have mentioned this in episode 1, but to reiterate and flesh out the story a little more, one of the reasons that Brad and I found ourselves playing with the notion of starting this podcast was because so many of our conversations in and around role-playing games would drift over to this question of, you know, how well does the dice mechanic in this world, whatever world we were playing in, how well does it quantify real life? And I think we'd both agree, Brad and I would agree, that the D&D 5e dice mechanic specifically is one of the most straightforward, elegant ways we've ever encountered to quantify life. So imagine, if you will. Again, this is not a deep dive. We know a lot of you listeners probably know the mechanic better than we do, but we want to talk about its robustness as a way to actually talk about not just the universes we play in, but the universe we live in, or at least we think we live in. So when we are rolling a check in 5th edition, there's a general approach, whether it's a skill check or a combat check. First, we start with a d20. Then we go on to add an ability modifier. Then we go on to add a bonus modifier. And out of that comes a number, a score, if you will. Okay. That d20, that lovely polyhedral die, it represents chance. Chance in the encounter, whatever is happening. And we could say it represents chance both in the game, but we could also say that, kind of in a neat way, that d20 represents just the probabilistic stuff going on in any real life event or encounter. We have that randomness, or at least that kind of stochastic randomness, if you will. And then we add the ability modifier, the ability mod. And that ability mod, that represents what we are, the core in us, brings to the table, both the literal role-playing table and the table in maybe the real life encounter or event. So we've got the randomness, we've got our innate, inherent ability, and then we add that bonus mod. Maybe that bonus mod is a skill where we have, you know, extra whatever in the game, or in real life, maybe that bonus mod is experience we've had at work or in school or at home, or education, Or maybe it's the assistance or support or even love of another in our environment. And so we get this randomness that sort of reflects the world in game and real life. We add what we bring to the table through our own abilities in game and real life. And then we add our bonus mod, which is in both in game and real life, what we've done, what we've seen, who we've been, where we've been.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because for me, you know, when we started this and decided to go in this direction, you had already been GMing in the Star Wars universe using Edge of the Empire. So when, in effect, I almost had convinced you that we would go into an arena, the fantasy world of D&D, I decided to take on the duties of being the DM. I had never done the DM position before. This is something that was new to me. So as I was reading this, Jason and I would start talking, and all of a sudden him from the PC perspective and me from the DM perspective started to realize that there is this parallel between us playing the game and how that interacts with us with decision making. The idea of, you know, ability modifiers and so on. We were learning it as we went along. But I'll be perfectly honest, I was a DM in training as we were playing. So this the difficulty class, the DC, I was probably a little more liberal or creative with it than probably what was documented based off of the situations that I had put Jason in. Now, for the sake of full disclosure, when we started doing this, it was in effect we were doing D&D Duet, where I was DMing, but I was also playing, and I don't know, I'm not sure the correct term for this, so my apologies to those who are more experts. I was using PCNCs, so player characters who were non-player characters. And doing that gave me a unique perspective into Jason, what you were experiencing with a PC, but me as a PC, but also in effect driving the narrative of the game, or driving the direction, let me rephrase that, driving the direction of the narrative of the game, I had to be creative. And at first, I probably made things a little bit easy. But more recently, you know, one of the last times we played, I kind of threw a wrench in the works. And I think Jason was even surprised when we were playing this. I threw a higher DC dragon in. They weren't prepared for it, but I was. Because I had reached that point of DMing where I felt comfortable enough to apply it. That being said, the more we would talk about this, and like I said, we talk a lot. This congruence between life and here and what we did in the gaming world became more prevalent. And as Jason said, this is why we've gotten into and why we started talking about this and talking about the dice mechanic and how it applies in the real world.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And before we continue with this thread of thought, I'll just say it really surprised me. I don't think Brad is exaggerating at all. Here we are. We are playing this duet, GM and PC. By the way, that reminds me, Brad, when am I ever going to see that sidekick I designed show up? But we'll get to that offline. But we're playing this and we're on Zoom because we're in a pandemic and we live in different cities and different states, and we're not using any visuals at all. It's strictly just theater of the mind. And then Brad reveals my PC is facing a dragon. And even though it was, in air quotes, a smaller dragon, I was surprised at how impactful that moment was. A, how cool I thought it was that as a nascent D&D player, I was already encountering a dragon. B, that my PC didn't die in the first moments of that encounter and see, man, that was kind of scary for the theater of the imagination. And I don't think that's entirely unlike real life. I don't think that's entirely unlike real life. I think Brad brought up the DC, the difficulty class. And, you know, it's interesting. Let's look at this. So we have some control, of course, over our ability mod and our bonus mod through the choices we make in both character creation early in a game, as well as the choices we make as we level up. We obviously don't have much control over the D20, although I imagine there are many people who think we do, but sorry, that's not how randomness works. But we also don't have control over necessarily the difficulty class of the situation, whether that is your boss, whether that is a homework assignment, whether that's something in your neighborhood, whether that's the weather, right? Living in the upper Midwest like Brad and I do, when a blizzard comes through, that presents potentially a DC that we may or may not be prepared for, say, if we haven't filled up the blower or don't have teenage kids to shovel for us.
Which, by the way, thanks, because I haven't gotten to the point to bring weather in to our game, and you might see that in future games.
That's great.
But it's an interesting topic, and I think back to, you know, Jason and I were not necessarily hyper athletes. We do like to do outdoorsy type of things. We bike pack. Jason backpacks. But one of the games we were playing, I still talk about this because I thought it was funny. Jason, your character had to create a distraction to extract one of our other player characters who came along with us. Mm-hmm. From jail.
Yep.
So I bring this up only because there was a DC qualifier. Now, remember, my world is a home world, so I'm not using a pre-existing gaming. I'm not using, you know, Curse of the Strahd or anything like mm-hmm. that. I started from ground zero. I remember your decision at the time, which I was not expecting, to throw two lit torches, if I remember correctly, across each side. You were running in between two buildings, and you tried to throw them into the windows.
Yep.
And this goes along with your player character's strange inability to use throwing axes.
Yes.
So it just reminds me of how real life translated actually into the game. And for my humor's sake, I actually took and made Jason's character a little bit clumsier than he might have actually wanted.
And we won't go there, but I will say that was so far my single favorite moment playing D&D with you, because it did take you by surprise and it was completely in keeping with the character. And honestly, I think it surprised all three of us, because we had another friend at the digital table with us. I think it surprised all three of us that it actually worked.
Yeah, I remember putting a DC to that creatively, and it was not easy. And when you rolled, you somehow still made it. And I remember being shocked by that and realizing, okay, I had pre-anticipated failure. And when you didn't fail, that for me as a DM, as a new DM who should have looked at this from all perspectives, when you actually rolled it and made it, I had to course correct the story. And again, because it is, I do a lot of writing. I could put out the storyline and show you how much I prepared for it and built this world, but then I would give too much away to Jason. But I just remember looking at it and saying, well, in the old days of the Choose Your Own Adventure books, I did not consider B as his choice. And that to me plays out in many ways like real life.
Yes.
Being, you know, anticipating thinking that you're not going to make it because you assume the DC is too high. And then all of a sudden, you make it and you're not necessarily prepared for it.
So this discussion reminds me, remember Cheers growing up, how popular that was on TV?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. So one of the very specific scenes I recall, and I think it's so apropos to this discussion, is when what was the mailman's name?
Norm. No.
Clavin.
Now I'm embarrassed.
Clavin.
Cliff, yeah.
Cliff, thank you. That's sad. when Cliff walks in. No, I'm wrong. You're right. It's Norm. Norm sits down, orders a beer. Sammy asks him, you know, how's it going? And his response is, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and I'm wearing Milk-Bone underwear.
We've used that a lot with each other over the years.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is exactly right. I think one of the really neat things about both role-playing and especially the dice mechanic in D&D 5e and how it really does quantify life, real life encounters in a really slick, meaningful way is it's a reminder. Just like that hilarious interaction where my PC threw those threw those into the jail to light that sucker on fire, all those torches, not all of which even made it. But again, if you build your jail out of wood, that's what you're going to get. You know, we can't foresee everything. And sometimes we assume the DC is higher than it really is. Sometimes we assume the DC is lower than it really is. That's true at the table. That's true in real life.
Well, Not to belay a point, me as a DM had predetermined or had assumed that this would fail because, Jason, you had, if I remember correctly, hand axes as a weapon.
Yep.
And why don't you explain your success rate with using those? And then, folks, you'll understand why I assumed it would be a failure.
Watching my PC throw hand axes, for which he is ironically optimized to do, is like watching me trying to play a sport that involves a ball. On paper, anything is possible. In action, hilarity ensues, and any DC is probably going to be too high a DC, which is why he finally gave up throwing his hand axes. In fact, I'm not even sure he has them anymore.
I think you dropped them, and I think it's because throwing the hand axes, I had set, in effect, the DC low for that encounter, for actually two encounters. So it wouldn't have taken much for you to roll a hit on them, but not only did you not hit them, based off of your roll versus the DC, it was almost statistically impossible that you were that inept in throwing those things, which is why I assumed during the time that you were throwing the torches, you would fail. And again, going back to real life, I mean, let's be honest, 2020 and going into 2021, we could have thought our own DCs up as to what we thought would occur, you know, starting in January. I know that I traveled in January and February for work. Little did I know that, in effect, the DC wouldn't necessarily be a D20 roll, in effect, if you could play DC that. All of a sudden, now come February and March, DC would end up like more like a D200 roll. I mean, we had no idea what we were going to potentially deal with on any given day. And hopefully this year we'll all see a better outcome, you know, in terms of returning to normal. But in terms of real life, compare it. Think about how life changed and, in effect, how DC changed for you from 2019 to 2020. And that always, when Jason and I start talking about mechanic, that came into that just constantly. And I think that was another reason I really, really got drawn to this when Jason started talking about it, to this type of podcast, was, you know, it would have seemed pretty general and standard if 2020 had been like 2019. But let's be honest, I'm not going to belabor this point either. 2020 was not 2019.
No, it was kind of the year of the critical failure. Yes. Yeah. You know, at the same time though, and I'm going to use this to transition a little bit, amidst all of the challenges of 2020 here globally, at least here in the States, maybe the unmasking of the latent bigotries and inequities that have always been with us as a society, maybe a silver lining will be, hopefully will be, that much as Wizards of the Coast have done as the producers, right, the creators of D&D 5e, more people than ever are starting to be invited to the table. Right, big, big kudos for Wizards going out of their way to really lead the pack. I mean, if you follow the social media threads, or even just check out stuff online at the websites of, you know, the big ones, Wizards, Fantasy Flight Games, Paizo, Modiphius, all of these, they all seem to be doing some really good humanitarian things using their platforms as ways to include more and more diverse voices. But Wizards has really been out in front. So just a kudos from us to them, because that's so cool. And even seeing the greater diversity of ideas and thoughts in the newer books, right? Tasha's Cauldron, you know, it's not as bad being an orc anymore, right? Or kind of my favorite, the Ak Ink source book. I'm still not entirely sure how to pronounce it. Brad and I keep changing it, but the Verdun, what a cool race or species or whatever we should call them in that world. But just to back up even farther for a moment, before we talk about like in-world stuff anymore, Brad, because I know you and I had talked about how we wanted to make sure to make this point.
That's my fault. I tended to dwell on it a little bit, and in terms of it, because I wanted to build. And let's move on from it. I wanted to build to the point that you're actually making right now.
Awesome. Is, I mean, yeah.
So yeah, go right ahead.
No, we've been going on tangents for more than 20 years. So, you know, sorry, listeners, buckle up. But one of the things that Brad and I find ourselves talking about a lot as of late, especially as we're thinking about this podcast, is how not only is there a real simplicity and elegance in the best sense to the 5e mechanic, but you know, that going back to the early days of D&D, this mechanic, this D20 plus an ability mod plus a bonus mod, if you look at the vast majority of other games and dice mechanics out there, they all emulate it functionally. So whether we're looking at like the 2D20 system or a narrative dice system like Genesis, or even, you know, a D10 or D100 system, those of which I'm much less familiar, whatever we're talking about, we still tend to see, not always, but we tend to see in a majority of situations, the random generation plus some ability plus some bonus mod learning, etc. And that just, I'm sure Brad will come back to that in many, many episodes, just saying, look at how this echoes.
And not that I am not more than apt to talk and like you said, digress. So yeah, exactly, buckle up. But Jace, when you look at this dice mechanic, how elegant it is, and the modifiers you add to actually execute against a DC, right? How have you seen this apply in your professional world. Jace, you and I work in effect, different arenas or different verticals, but the parallels are the same. And, you know, how have you seen that? Because it, in effect, helped also drive our interest in doing this.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, that question that you posed, that's really the genesis of this entire enterprise as our podcast. Let me back up for a sec. So if I think back over the years, like to the when was that? When I was in high school, when our friend Scott was, well, I guess he's still deep into Star Wars, but when he taught me how to do that, from that point on, things would happen in real life, and I would find myself just occasionally reflecting to, it's the old, right, West End Games D6 mechanic. I would find myself thinking, huh, I wonder what would have had to roll for that to happen. Now, as you can imagine, Brad, I initially it would be like I'd be watching a Star Wars film. And I'll be honest, even like these past several months, watching The Mandalorian, one I'd watch a scene because I love The Mandalorian. I'd watch a scene and it'd be like, huh, what would he have to roll to get that? Or I wonder what would be the stats on that weapon. But in the past year or two, I think that started to flip a bit for me, asking, okay, so this thing in real life happened. What would I want to roll, right? Like instead of it just popping up, just wondering, okay, how would I want this to work? Like if there's an issue at work, right? An issue at my university, like what are the DCs we're looking at here? And what's at stake on the table, right? I mean, there's a reality, like for a PC at the table, some encounters you simply walk away from, others you can navigate. And I just find myself, I know I'm not being overly specific, but I find myself more generally these days looking at life through the lens of dice. And these days I'm doing it through the D20 system for 5e because you and I have been talking so much about it and playing it. But that's where I am. I just more like it's a fun way to help me think more intentionally about the good, bad, and ugly that's going on. How about you?
So, from my perspective, I don't think I had really thought about it, and I'm not sure I would have thought about it without having been a DM who played a player character at the same time, because we duet, as well as our conversations. And I work in the technology industry where things can change by the month, even by the minute. And I actually, when Jace, you and I started talking about doing this, not only did I start looking at currently how that mechanic would play out in my everyday job, but the decisions I've made, successful ones, not so successful ones over the years, I look back and think about what was the DC, and in effect, how did I roll against that? And did I really even have an opportunity to be successful in some of these situations? I could see some yes, some no. And ultimately for me, as a DM, I guess for me it was kind of like I'm in effect retro rolling, for lack of a better term. I'm retro rolling and going back and looking at decisions I've made. And I'm not one to regret. This is not an issue about regret. This is just an issue about looking back at in the context of the mechanic. And you're kind of the one when you started kind of talking about this, it spurred. One thing I would like us to talk about, and this is for another episode, is I've played the narrative mechanic far less than I've played the D20 mechanic. So I can't necessarily speak to it as well as Jason has, although we'll get to that in a second. But what, how would things play out in terms of how we handle real life and how real life works in comparison between the D20 system and the dice mechanic? And I'll make one more point, and then I'll transition over back. For the record, folks, we don't necessarily, you could probably tell, we don't necessarily script this. We kind of pre-talk about notes and things we might want to hit, but there really is no conversation that Jason and I have had in the almost 30 years we've known each other that we could actually script any conversation we've had. Everything has been organic. I find that the D20 system really in many ways matches, I'm not saying I live by the D20 system, but I can relate the D20 system to my life. And it is uncanny to me to look at the decisions I've made or the situations I have been in and in effect think to myself, oh, that would have been a high DC, or, you know, ooh, that was a low DC, but I didn't roll well on it. I didn't make the right choice to roll against it. I mean, we've talked about rolling against a DC, but we also haven't really talked about, in fact, making our choice. You know, are you going to roll perception, or are you going to roll something else against, in effect, creative DM decisions or predetermined DM decisions. And I think I've learned this more hard way or not by perhaps being a little over creative in terms of starting this world from scratch and in effect thinking of DC and building a world based off of increasing and decreasing, not just continually increasing, but the ebb and flow of difficulty to allow your character to build.
Yeah. And, I think as two guys and fathers and husbands and professionals and obviously geeks, in midlife, the early half, certainly of midlife, but nonetheless, you're speaking about how the D20 system just, it clicks so well with you looking at this stuff around DC. And, I was just reading something last night about a guy, literally just a few years older than us, 3-4 years older than us, Brad. And just how successful he's been. And again, this, no one read into this because I consider myself extremely fortunate and I'm quite grateful and I'm quite happy. But, you look at some people and you look at least at their ostensible success and it's like, what did they roll for that bonus mod, right? To kick in like that. And it makes you think. It makes you think about how much you might have going for you. And it also reminds you of how much you don't have control over. And in that regard, I agree. I think the 5e dice system provides this really kind of useful, clever way to help conceptualize some of those more meaning of life kind of questions in a way that makes them a little more tractable to think about.
I think ultimately, for me, the idea of doing this podcast has allowed me to look at life a little differently. In effect, in some ways, it has given me, looking at it and thinking about it from this perspective, independent of everything else that will be going on and has gone on, it gives me hope. It also feels like for me, in looking at my children, and this will sound a little, perhaps a little nostalgic or cheesy or whatever you want to call it, I truly believe our children are going to roll better than we did in our lifetimes. And if that's the case, then, Thank goodness. Because to your earlier point, Jason, there was a lot that went on this year outside of the virus and the pandemic. And hopefully we're going to see some good out of it. But let's be honest, there have been a lot of poor rules over the years. And hopefully our children, the next generation, and even ours, and even hopefully anyone, regardless of generation, will choose and have their modifiers work in their direction going into 2021 and beyond.
I think
If
that's,
that makes any sense, I don't know if that made sense or
I
not.
think it's, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think it's so well said. And to speak of the future, one of hope, you might even say a new hope, which is funny you'd say that, Brad, because next time we're going to talk about Star Wars and the Genesis dice mechanic in Star Wars, the narrative dice, and specifically, or at least primarily, through the Edge of the Empire lens from Fantasy Flight Games. And I'm looking forward to coming back to this because just as you find the D20 system so natural to think about things in real life, I find that system, for whatever reason, clicks with me. But that's for next time. What do you think about walking over to the GM corner and talking about what we've been doing, thinking, reading, writing as of late?
Yeah, I think that's good. And just for the sake of full disclosure, I do not know. I don't think you could calculate how many times Jason has sent me a picture or a mention of a book, and it has, and not because I'm a follow the leader type, but Jason, you have a knack for picking reading materials that just click and are relatable to me. So sometimes you might hear some overlap, and if there is, I'll be honest with you, more often than not, it is me overlapping him. So if by some chance he's overlapping me, we're going to make note of it because it's worth noting on the calendar, not to disparage myself. But what have you been up to, since our last episode in terms of what you've been reading or what you've been doing in the world of role playing gaming?
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Well, okay. So first of all, thank you for that. Second of all, so that I'm honest as well with our listeners, you should all know that many times I send Brad a picture of a book, even if it's just in a bookstore on the shelf, which is pretty hard to do these days. I do that if it's anything around any of our shared topics of interest, as much because I'm almost positive that'll be a sufficient trigger for him to buy it as anything. It is a running joke. Brad has a very impressive library of, for example, RPG books, only a few of which we've ever used.
Thank you for spinning that positively,
Yeah, you
because
got it.
usually if my spouse or someone listens to this,
I was going to say your wife might be
I
listening.
need that backup.
Yeah, though, let's be honest, neither of our wives are ever going to listen to this.
Well, if they do by chance, you've given me cover, but I think you're correct. I
Yeah,
don't
probably
think they probably
unnecessary.
will not. No.
Okay, so in response to your question, and speak of overlap, I don't remember if I came across this and sent it to you. I kind of think you came across this and sent it to me, but recently, you and I have been talking about, and I've been reading the books by Keith Amman, AMMANN, and I'm trying to think. I think the first one came out in 19 and the second in 20, toward the end of 20. A lot of books between publishing and distribution, even printing with the pandemic globally, have been pushed back so long. So I'm not entirely sure about the timeline, but I know they're both recent books. The first one we both have, in fact, you, I think, bought it first, The Monsters Know What They're Doing, which is a guide to just about every monster, quote unquote, I think in fifth edition D&D. And then this, and it's a tome, it's like 500 plus pages. And then the second one is a much slimmer volume, Live to Tell the Tale, and it's a brief guide of tactics for PCs, or, you know, obviously for people who are playing PCs. And I realize that even for the two of us, the fact that either of us would read these sounds pretty geeky, but I've got to say, they're really well written. They move really quickly. They're humorous. And especially since, you know, you and I don't have the time between work and family that we would probably prefer to actually have a regular frequent game, reading for me, reading the player guide, the Live to Tell the Tale, was like spending 200 some pages thinking about being in playing a game with just this great GM looking over your shoulder. And what really surprised me, because it's, you'd think it would be fairly dry, but the monsters know what they're doing. That tome of a book, it's surprisingly engaging. So I'm just enjoying it, reading every evening, kind of tearing through it. And because I know so little about the many different monsters, I mean, I've never done more, honestly, guys, than flip through the monster manual, right? Because I don't GM, so I don't have to. But they're just excellent, excellent reads. How about you, Brad? What have you been up to?
Yeah, full disclosure. It was you who took the picture of the player's guide at the bookstore. I talked, and then the PC book made absolute sense to you. The Monsters book for me was, you know, as a DM, it seemed like a no-brainer, although I think we have both picked up both now. But that is on my table next to my chair in the family room. Beyond some items that have kept me busy this past week outside the realm of RPGs, for me, I have been fascinated. You know, I enjoy playing Star Wars. Like Jason said, he played more. We go back to the days of the D6 Star Wars. But the fact that at the time, FFG took the Star Wars narrative dice system and generalized it into the Genesis system. And you and I have talked about different worlds and different ways to use this outside of Star Wars because of the very thing you said about the way that you can connect with the narrative dice system. I have been reading more Genesis lately, and it really had nothing to do with the fact that in a future episode we're going to talk about it. I'm just fascinated by it because, you know, one of the things that you and I went through originally was, you know, we were looking at a very crunchy type of gaming system to play. And when we switch gears, as much as because we like data and we work in realms where one form or another we're working with data or research, we thought a crunchy system would resonate. Actually, is more of the D20 type of system that allows creativity, and the narrative dice system that is not crunchy, that seemed to resonate with us more. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy is that when we play, which by the way, we should probably talk about when we're done here. When we play, we are looking for something that in effect is different than what we do on a given day's basis or life. So for me, I've been focusing on Genesis and just thinking about different ways. If we wanted to play something even beyond D&D, what world could we create? Could we use an existing area that has always interested us? Or, you know, do we continue to play within the Star Wars realm? Either way, I'm fascinated by that system. I want to learn more about it. I'm continuing to learn more about it. And I think that's the direction, correct me if I'm wrong, Jace, that we're going to go with our next episode.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Genesis system writ large, right? The reimagined GURPS, if you will, because I haven't spent much time there, and it looks so interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, as we wrap up here today, folks, we, again, thank you for listening. We thank you for indulging us as we continue to learn how to, or refine, I shouldn't say learn, refine our ability to record, and learn, you know, more me than Jason, not to move around and you hear background noise or so on, or start to talk and be on mute and have Jason pop up on camera looking at me like I had lost my mind.
Oh, good. You saw that.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I saw it. And because I had already started a conversation, and really, and when you were looking at it, the first thing I looked at was mute, which is something we talked about even as we got online today. So, you know, being a tech nerd, that's a little embarrassing.
Brad has no idea how many conversations we've had on Zoom where I just mute it so I can do my stuff more important.
Yeah, well, back at you.
Yeah, right.
But I thank you all for indulging us for this episode. We're going to continue to refine and get better.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to have these conversations about the mechanics, because the more we do this, the more fascinating it gets.
It really does. And someday, after the pandemic, I'm going to upgrade my router, and it'll be even better.
I am holding out hope that that's actually the case, because I think you've been saying that for about 2 years. And someday you will have internet speed that rivals ISDN.
Well, yeah. With that, guys, thanks as always for joining us. Be well, stay well. We'll see you next time.
Be well and stay safe, folks. We'll see you soon.